Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.
Football on off the ball.
Brentford is a great club in just sticking with players and letting them ride through the wave because they actually really believe in them.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill, 18+. See gamblingcare.ie.
And welcome to episode 113 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews, bit of crack as well. Reminder, folks, the Off the Ball Racing Pod, the full pod, is now free wherever you get your podcasts. John Duggan with you as always, and Johnny Ward is taking a break this week. So we are delighted to have Tom Malone of the Irish Field with us in studio. And how are you, Tom?
Yeah, good. Good, John. Yeah, I suppose with the sort of week we've had, it's been very quiet in the racing front. So I suppose a time for reflection, which is fitting at the start of January, isn't it?
I still think, Tom, that Christmas is percolating in my mind and the horses to follow and the horses that were for the notebook. And I think what we might do today is pick five each that could run at the Cheltenham Festival and maybe select five horses to follow for potentially running well at Cheltenham. Now, folks, anti-post betting is fraught with danger at times, and look, if you're going to get involved, maybe only do it for a euro each way or for small money or for maybe a multiple. But because obviously ground conditions can change, a horse might not turn up in the day because he's injured or whatever. And then you have the aspect of other targets. But in 2007, I remember I backed Turpin Green at 100-1 for the Gold Cup each way, and he was third.
Nice.
And that was the biggest anti-post bet because I thought 100-1 was a big price. So I picked out a couple of big, couple of middle price, top, middle, bottom, and one horse 66-1 for
to
look at for Cheltenham. So what we're going to do, Tom, is we're going to ask you to maybe pinpoint five horses to follow for the Cheltenham Festival, some of which we know that if they turn up on the day, they're going to run like in the Gold Cup and that in the Champion Hurdles. So your first horse is, Tom?
Well, my first horse is 80 Calore. Obviously, Irish Grand National winner, Welsh National winner. Technically, he probably has a stone to find, maybe 20 pounds to find on his last run. But, look, I'm not too concerned about that. We know he jumps. We know he stays. Like, the Gold Cup picture is wide open, John. Like, it's 6-1 to the field. We have concerns about, I know the way you're thinking, last year's winner. We have concerns that Galopin Deschamps may be slightly over the hill. Do we know whether Affidale Fury will stay? Do we know whether the Jukebox Man will stay? And then, you know, the rest of that Kempton form, the rest of them maybe look like Ryanair horses. I actually quite like the chances of Gaelic Warrior to run in the Gold Cup, but I don't think he will run. I imagine he'll go in the Ryanair. But, 80 Calore, such a brilliant performance at Chepstow in the Welsh National. I don't think he's too ground dependent, even though, like, he has won a Welsh National. I just think he jumps and stays. There's probably a few question marks about a horse that could truly pick it up by the scruff of the neck. And I mentioned this over Christmas and I immediately regretted it. And now I'm going to say it again. But could he kind of do a little bit of a Denman? He's not Denman. Let's just
Native River, maybe?
Native River.
Won
yeah.
the Welsh National.
Native River. And again, a horse who is
Stayer.
Stayer. Get up.
Good
stay.
Jumper.
Like, slow horses run well in Gold Cups
yes.
all the time.
It's more a staying race.
Even the year Don Cossack won, like, Don Poley finished third. You know, and like
Park Rambler finished third in the Gold Cup.
You know, yeah, those
West
kind
Tip
of horses
finished third in the Gold Cup. These were national horses.
Yeah,
and then sometimes you have a horse that is good enough, or they thought was good enough to run a national, like Master Oates in 1994. Unseated, I think, in the National.
And yeah, and
he won the Gold Cup the year later.
Synchronised was ready to go in the Grand National. Like, I know the way you're thinking. This time last year, if we were having this chat this time last year and you were looking for an anti-post bet, I would have given you a no the way you're thinking for the Grand National, not the Gold Cup.
Yes.
On the back of his run in the Savills. So, horses that jump and stay. Also, there is a question mark about who really puts the pace to the race in the Gold Cup. Is there truly a horse? I know we have three, you know, the winners of the three previous races will most likely line up, and I know the way you're thinking, who can still continue to improve. But we don't know what mark that Gold Cup had on him. He is still a relatively young horse. Is Galopin Deschamps slightly over the hill? Yes, he will stay. But, you know, at 14-1, I think Eddie Couleur can jump and stay and has enough class, even if technically he has a stone to find on ratings. I think he will jump and stay and do the business. We know he can get 3.5 miles, so he can easily, you know, get it. And he could put horses under pressure, you know. It's a wide open Gold Cup and he's just going to get a double figure price. I'd like him to do well.
Will he be lucky on Friday the 13th of March, Eddie Couleur? Look, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I do think sometimes it can be a stairs race. It's 3.25 miles. He's got course form. He's obviously improving. He's a great jumper. Jumps for fun. And Rebecca Kirsch has done a great job with him. So as an each-way proposition, I can't really disagree with you. And sometimes people talk about regimes and pounds. And look, ultimately, the horse reminds me quite a lot of Native River, who won the Welsh National.
And he won a Gold Cup, so, you know.
My first pick is Galopin Deschamps. For the Gold Cup, 6-1. Tom, I think this is a horse of a lifetime. I was watching back replays last night of the Gold Cups from 2007 to 2011.
What a magical time that was.
It was.
It was magical and time.
It was just the best of Cauldre Star and Denman. And
are
then
you
long
just,
run.
Just, I don't want to interrupt you, but are you Team Cauldre or Team Denman?
Oh, Team Denman all the way.
Okay, cool. I'm Team Cauldre, so I'm happy to. Well, we're happy see, the other side
to
of
me, the first steeplechase was raced between Bullivant and Dunarail in 1752. So it was from a church steeple to steeple, or there was a steeple at the end of it. Anyway, that's where I got the name. When I grew up as a small boy watching horse racing, I just loved the artistry of great jumpers.
Yeah.
And I thought that Denman was a brilliant steeplechaser. Cauldre Star was a great horse, but to me, he didn't jump well enough to be classed in my mind as a great steeplechaser.
Yeah, I agree.
That's my thinking about that.
Yeah, I understand that. And this is, you know, this is a debate I have at home, sadly. But,
sadly, in the Grand National now these days, you don't need to jump the fences.
No.
Because it's effectively a glorified hurdle race, in my opinion, the Aintree Grand National. I still think the Irish Grand National and Welsh Grand Nationals and Cheltenham Gold Cup are jumping tests.
Yeah.
But I was a total Denman fan. I was there in 2008, saw him win the Gold Cup. I thought it was a magnificent, one of the best races I've ever seen.
I think... Even though Cauldre is probably my favourite jumps horse of recent years, that performance, it's you know, of performances by horses, individuals on the day, just the way he did it, the way he ran, the way he picked it up at the winning post on a lap out and just jumped and galloped them into submission. That's just magic.
Fabulous. And my favourite horse is Lord Galen, or Gailin, or whatever way you pronounce it. 1997 Grand National winner, kind of did the same. Won by 25 lengths off 10 stone. But I suppose the reason I'm talking about that is because a Galopin Deschamps would be, 10 at the Gold Cup if he turns up in the day. And Cool Dawn was the last winner in 1998 at the age of 10. So that is against a Galopin Deschamps from a statistical point of view. But in 2011, when Long Run beat Denman and Cauldre Star, they were both 11 years of age. They were generational horses. I think Galopin Deschamps is a generational horse. And it was his first run of the season at Leopardstown at Christmas. Surely he will improve for that, even if he was fit. To be Matt Sharp for the day when he was third behind Aphrodite Fury. But surely this is what it's all about. 3 Gold Cups. Arkle, the last Irish horse to do it. Best Mate obviously did it as well. Willie Mullins is a big student of history. And I think Galopin Deschamps won by, 22 lengths in the Punchestown Gold Cup last season. I haven't seen any evidence that he's regressed from that form based on the fact that it was his first run of the season at Christmas. He's 6-1 now. I think he'll be shorter after the Irish Gold Cup. Punchestown would tell me that the ground is not necessarily an issue. I don't think it gave its true running in the race last year. And I still think Galopin Deschamps, as a horse of a lifetime, will be enough to beat his age.
Yeah, I think that's all fair.
So that's the first couple of picks on the Gold Cup and a nice consensus around this. Might be a consensus as well around your second pick, Irish Panther.
Yeah, in the Arkle. I think he's a true two-miler, you know, 2 miles and 1 at Leopardstown. He was only beaten by Romeo Coolio, who outstayed him up the hill. And there's nothing wrong with being outstayed up the hill in Leopardstown. It happens all the time. You've seen lots of good horses been beaten in the closing stages at Leopardstown over the years. And I just thought Irish Panther, they made plenty of use of him. They might even make a little bit more use of him just to really, really nice jumper. He ran well in Nace the previous day too. Eddie and Patrick Harty, I think they might go straight there. They're well able to mind a good one when they have one. Of course, they won a Supreme many years ago. Captain CB beat Binocular. I was thinking 16-1 at William Hill. That's an outstanding each way bet. Again, a lot of when you're having an anti-post bet is knowing what race they're going to go for. And Irish Panther is going for the Arkell. He is a 2 miler. And, you know, and maybe he's underrated by the odds compilers just because, you know, they might not be too familiar with where he's trained and stuff like that. But I think Irish Panther is an exceptionally choice bet for this race.
Well, my second pick is Irish Panther for the Arkell. And you can also get 20-1 in places. And a 9-year-old has not won the race since 1988. I think it was Danish Flight back then. But, like, what is the Arkell for me? It's breakneck speed. It's hell for leather. It's jumping at pace. And if you have a horse that goes out in front, attacks his fences, gets others off the bit and into trouble, and then if you can take a breather and then go again, I mean, you might have enough.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's then harder for the closers to finish. I mean, you might have a really classy type that can close, but remember, even Champagne Fever didn't win. A Western Warhorse beat the Arkell 33-1.
How did that horse win that race? But yeah, exactly, yeah.
So therefore, 20-1. Yeah, as you say, you know he's going there. They've improved him since he moved to the yard. That was definitely his lifetime best over fences in the, like, Romeo Cudio had to really put it out of the fire.
Yeah.
A really talented animal that you think is possibly going to go to the top to win that race. And then
July
Flower was 12 lengths back and she'd won at Cheltenham.
She's very classy.
So therefore, Irish Panther, because it's maybe an unfashionable yard, is probably overpriced for a race you know he's going to go to if he turns up at the day, 20-1, 16-1. And I agree with you. The only thing about it is, the only question I would ask is Cheltenham like a stiffer track? The old course is flatter, or it's more sharper than, maybe not than flatter is a better way of describing, sharper than flatter than the new course, more of a galloping track. So
yeah, but even you see, like, I just think his jumping is so good and he has such a strong pace. He can put others under pressure so early that the hill might not be so much of a factor for him. And even you see, look, they finished in a bit of a heap last year in the Arkell, and, you know, Majra made that horrendous mistake. Like, you know, if you see something not similar happening, but with clean jumping, Majra goes and, you know, wins that race quite readily. So you just think that, you know, with a clean round of jumping and he'll have others under pressure because he can be ridden prominently, they'll have to come and chase him down. And that style of running just puts pressures on other horses jumping. And look, at 16-1, I think he's a great chance.
Your third pick is for Cheltenham Antipost?
My third pick is a shorter price one, was for the Champion Hurdle. And I looked over this. I know he fell last time out, but he will run in the trial at the end of the month. And that is the New Lion. He is 4-1 at William Hill for the Champion Hurdle. And I think it's the only race he's going to go for. It's this situation. You know, yes, he came down at Newcastle in the Fighting Fifth. He has a slight, you know, tendency to take a little guess at a jump, but because it's something I like to see in a hurdler. I know Nicky Anderson's horse Sergino is a very careful jumper because he's come from that chasing background and he really gets up and over it. But I really love the way the New Lion jumps fast. Dan Skelton has said he is definitely a 2 miler. Put the things happening a little bit quickly for him in the Fighting Fifth. So that was his first run in open company after being a star novice last year. He's still for me the best novice hurdler last year. So I'm going to stick with him. And I think at 4-1, I think he's an exceptional each way bet for the Champion Hurdle.
Very good trainer of handicap hurdlers, and maybe he's never had a good horse as this. Dan Skelton.
Yeah, that wouldn't concern me. His family have had excellent horses over the years. You know, his dad was
I didn't mean that
shoulder.
In a negative way.
No. But I more mean it from a horsemanship point of view. I mean this from a, I wouldn't have a concern about him making sure that horse jumps well in future. I could mean it from the way that this horse is their star. They're fully aware of that. And I think I wouldn't have any concerns about that at all.
No, I suppose what I meant was that
Maybe they're not used to having such a high profile horse in the yard. Yeah, it's more kind of handicap.
Maybe they've never had a horse so good, so they don't know how good he is.
Yeah, to a point. Maybe that could be an element of the reasoning why things happen for him a little bit quickly in the fight in fifth. That's, you know, Dan Skelton's on record saying that's the fastest he's ever gone in his career. You know, that can happen because you're never going to work a horse as quickly at home as they will, you know, experience in a race. You never school them. You never go and school them over hurdles at home at, you know, grade one hurdle pace. You just, you know, let them, you know, find their feet and you know, put reps in essentially. So look, I wouldn't have any concerns about that. I know what you're saying. And he is the best horse they've had, but I wouldn't be concerned about them not being able to handle that.
My third pick is a horse at 66-1. If he turns up in the Supreme Novices hurdle the first day, the Tuesday, Blake. Noel Mead, my gut is telling me that he's maybe having a bit of a renaissance.
Yeah,
Aphrodite Fury winning the Savills Chase at Leopardstown at Christmas. Helvic Dream, arguably, in some quarters, unlucky not to win a Galway hurdle. Look, he's a multiple champion trainer over jumps in Ireland, Noel Mead, for many years. Obviously, Willie Mullins and Gordon Elliott are ruining the roost at the moment, but he's had winners of the Supreme Novices hurdle before, Sausalito Bay and Go Native,
yeah.
But I'd be interested if Blake turns up at Cheltenham. I don't think that the Royal Bond Novices hurdle is the race it was, but it still has an illustrious.
Look, the problem is Cocktail Brute bombed so badly at Christmas, but they were very quick. Those races are very quick together.
66-1. I think that, look, reading the comments of Noel Mead, that he feels that the horse might be quite good. And he's turned up with Very Wood, who won at 33-1 in the Albert Bartlett Novices hurdle at Cheltenham. Jeff Kidder won at 80-1 in a Fred Winter hurdle.
Yeah.
And I just think that if he's coming back to maybe prominence, Noel Mead, in terms of the top horses.
Other thing, John, there's no outstanding Supreme horse yet. Obviously, you've got El Kairos, but he fell at Leopardstown.
Yeah.
You know, there's no real, you know, Min or Duvan. Or
the Dan Skelton kind of horse flopped at Aintree.
Yeah.
Relative
my
to
Daddy
his,
Paddy. Yeah.
His chances.
You know, so... And again, it feels like that Supreme market is so weak, you know, like the Punchestown race on Sunday, the Moscow Flyer, you know, four in a race. If Willie Mullins' horse goes and wins that, you could easily see if he goes and wins that well, he's going to be probably 4-1 for that race on the back of almost nothing, you know, and you're just kind of like, it's very weak. So I think it's a good shout to go and find something that's going to go for the race and just take a punt at a big price because...
Yeah.
Like you said, we've had about five or six favourites for this race over the past month.
A great trial, like Istabrak, Moscow Flyer, Hard Eustace, Hurricane Fly, all won the Royal Bond, and he was second, beaten ahead. So I just think he's a horse maybe to watch if he does turn up in the Supreme.
Yeah, and he did a lot of the work that day. You know what I mean? He was there to be shot at, and you know, Cocktail Brute just kind of wore him down. I mean, there's no shame in a defeat like that. And he's not like he stopped or anything, you know. So yeah, I wouldn't have an issue with that.
Your fourth pick is?
My fourth pick is my nap of the week. And again, I tipped him up over Christmas as well. And I still think...
On the pod.
He's still underappreciated. It's Tia Hupo. He will go for the race. He should be a dual stairs hurdle winner, arguably. He just got mugged last year by an absolutely brilliant Rachel Blackmore ride. And I just feel like the horse doesn't get the credit he deserves. Even as watching RTE, a couple of times he's run and he's been on RTE and they hardly talk about him. I'm like, he's not quite a big books, but he's like by far the best stairs hurdler over the last few years. He's by far the best Irish stairs hurdler over the last couple of years, and I feel like he doesn't get the respect he deserves at all, and he should be a sort of, you know, he should be a nigh an even money shot.
What price is he?
He's sort of 7-4. There's a bit of twos available.
It's my unlucky race. I'm never good at spotting stairs. I don't think I've ever, maybe Irish's Gift is the only one I've ever picked. It's not my lucky race at Cheltenham.
That's fair. As Ted Walsh says, no one wants to breed a champion chaser or a stairs hurdler.
Yeah. I think he wrote a champion chase winner, Ted, in the 70s. My fourth pick is Wendrock for the Carl Cup handicap hurdle at 25-1 if he turns up. Like Gordon Elliott has had winners of this race in the Jigginstown Colours a couple of times, Carlisha Brigante and Commander Fleet. Wendrock was staying on in the Fred Winter juvenile hurdle last year at Cheltenham. He appreciated the hill. And once again, he caught my eye over 2.5 at Leopardstown, staying on again in that handicap hurdle at Leopardstown on the final day of the festival there. I think that in a strongly run Carl Cup, he could be well handicapped if he turns up Wendrock 25-1.
I think Gordinelli could have a really big year this year as well. You know,
yes.
he had one winner last year and it affected him massively. And it feels like he's training his horses slightly differently this year. I think he'd be busier at the Dublin Racing Festival. He's obviously like a million odd clear at the top of the Irish Trainers Championship. Not sure he can do that. I mean, we kind of touched on it over Christmas, but like he really needs to be about 2 or 3 million clear at the, you know, but if he kind of went near,
well, that's the 50, assumption 50, that Willie Mullins will just turn up and sweep everything in the spring, and that's like likely but not guaranteed.
Yeah, but he, you know, Willie's kind of operating at sort of 50% in December from where he's been the last 3-4 years. You know, he's consistently had 30 plus winners in December over the last sort of 4 or 5 years, and he only had 16 this year. So that's, you know, but a lot of that is coming from the pressure with Gordon Elliott's having 24, 25 winners over Christmas. So, you know, that's where that's coming from.
And turning up like with Favre Deschamps too. Like, I mean, these are kind of the bonus races.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he'll be mob-handed in those handicaps as well. Yes. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Bones on Fire does something good in it, if he turns up and won the handicap as well. Because he's almost unaccessible, that horse, in that, because he drops out the back and then he comes with a wet sail and he won't win by much, you know.
He'll be in the black and white colours. I mean, yeah. I could have put in Narciso Has because I thought he was an impressive winner, but he's like 4-1 favourite for the Triumph, but he's definitely going to be on the right side of for Willie Mullins. But your final pick for Cheltenham Antipost is
Hamilton. And my final pick at a double figure price is Cocktail Diving, who will go for the Jack Richards Novices Handicap Chase, which was won last year by Caldwell Potter. It's a handicap now. He's not priced up everywhere. He's 14-1 in places. So, not sure he'll go for the race. I think he will go for the race. He was only 137 over hurdles. He's probably going to get a mark in the mid-140s at least over fences. I mean, if I was sort of Henry de Bromhead, I'd be entering him all over the UK for the next few weeks, even though you're not going to run him, just to make sure they establish a mark and publish it, because they don't have that kind of nonsense in the run-up to it. But really impressive winner at Leopardstown over Christmas. And he's had his three runs over fences now. He's heading to the festival. I don't know which race he goes for. Like, this is one that is a bit,
but he's worth a follow anyway.
Absolutely. Look, at 14-1 each way for that race, I think it's worth a shot.
My fifth and final pick is Keep Him Company for the Champion Bumper, 16-1. Jigginstown House stud Michael Leary have never won the race.
No way.
They've had candidates in recent years, but I think Keep Him Company could be a candidate. I backed him at Leopardstown at Christmas and he won. He was under pressure and he found for a lot of pressure and ran on really well to the line. He's a 3 mile chaser to me. And what you need sometimes in the Cheltenham Bumper, you need 3 mile chasers. Back to the Flower of the Pearl days. And Alexander Banquet and all these horses that have won the race in the past. But think back to the 90s. But I think that I like a horse that responds to pressure off the bridle.
Especially at Cheltenham.
And the hill, he'll eat that hill. If he's there or thereabouts, he'll eat it.
What I love as well, horses that find for pressure invariably are more relaxed. You know, there'll be a lot of young horses, a lot of inexperienced horses. There's also some inexperienced riders as well. So, it's the end of the day. It's a fevered atmosphere. Everyone's had a drink, so it can affect horses. That I think of, it was a gentleman's game a few years ago as well. I completely blew his chance because he just went nuts at the start. You know, young horses. So they can be affected by it. So if you have a horse, like I said, it's relaxed, travels behind the bridle, it's a big advantage.
16-1, Keep Him Company for the Champion Bumper. Maybe to finally give Michael O'Leary a win in the race for trainer Gordon Elliott. So there are the five horses that myself and Tom Malone have picked out, folks, to put in your notebook for the Cheltenham Festival Antipost. Obviously, they have to turn up in the day, but that's reflected in the prices they are right now as we chat at the first week in January. So let's get into the previews and the racing pod today. Let's get into Fairy House, which does go ahead on Saturday. Tom, the 140 is the Dan and Joan Moore Memorial Handicap Chase. 12 runners, 2 miles and a furlong. The ground is yielding, good to yielding in places. When I was kind of looking at this, I was looking at the class horses in inverted commas, Blood Destiny, Touch Me Not in the pocket, Tully Hill, and then the horses that would be seen as maybe handicap horses that have been running well at the course before over the distance. How did you split them, as it were?
Yeah, you know, you end up with Blood Destiny, kind of a horse who's almost kind of between two stools a little bit. You know, you're sort of like, oh, well, he's not truly graded class, but he's probably a little high up in the handicap and he might be a little bit vulnerable. I just fell down on Drumgill. He's a horse in form. I really like John Ryan as a trainer. He runs them often, but he's kind of well able to handle a good horse as well. And, you know, he was nice and impressive last time out. Absolutely friend of my tipping, Mikey Keneally, on board as well, who takes a few pounds off. So I think he's a really decent chance. Like I said, he's won last time out. He's up, 8 pounds for that. And I thought Drumgill had a chance here in the Dan and Joan Moore. But again, it's one of those, it's a trappy handicap. But, you know, having won over, it's interesting because he's been dropping down in trip. And you look at some of the comments earlier on, he's like, oh, he just stayed on in second when he ran into a half decent horse of Henry de Bromhead. So he's obviously turned out to be quicker than they thought he was, or maybe he doesn't do much at home. Again, when you're talking about a handicapper, a bit like a horse who travels behind the bridle, you know, maybe he's a bit quicker than he thinks, or than connections think, and also that makes him difficult to assess. So maybe that £8 rise, he'd be able to deal with it.
Bit of money for Western Diego, as
yeah, speak, I thought he was a bit classy as well. Yeah,
like he was once a very decent bumper horse, ran well at the Cheltenham bumper before kind of flaming out in the final furlong. You're thinking he's going to really step up from that, but he was third behind Drumgill on a seasonal reappearance in that race you're talking about. The Path Drew has also had a bit of a nibble in the market, but you got Tully Hill in there to me has lost his way.
Yeah, I mean, you would have thought at this stage, you know, sort of last year, there's no way Tully Hill's only going to be a sort of 1-4-3 horse this stage of his career.
The one I kind of liked is in the pocket. I mean, he's a former Grade 1 winner over hurdles at Aintree. He didn't appear to stay over a longer trip last time out. I think he's capable of winning this basis on his previous form. You wouldn't have the mortgage on him, but if I was to put neck on the line.
There was a time when this fella was been, you know, touted as a possible Arkle horse.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, he's already a year
Very
ago.
Very hesitant Saturday now.
You know, when he won his, you know, when he won his beginners, like, you know, more than one person would have suggested this fella has a right chance of running an Arkle just because, you know, he's definitely a two-miler. But like you said, he's lost his way a little bit. Look, he could have a right chance there of 1-4-9. It certainly doesn't seem like a plan.
Yeah, we have, 11-2 in the pocket, second favourite at the moment. On Sunday at Punchestown, the going yielding to soften the chase course. A Grade 3 novice chase, 5 runners at 12.50, 2 miles, 3.5 furlongs. You've got Jacob's Ladder, Kappa, Jepike, Predator's Gold, Pure Steel and the Enabler. The one I liked was Pure Steel. He's only won, won nicely at Punchestown on only his fifth start last time out. He jumped well. Jimmy Mangan trains him. 3 mile point winner. He's progressive. He was interesting for me. I mean, Predator's Gold, if he doesn't bounce after a year and a half off, after winning a Navan in December, is probably the one to beat. But Pure Steel was the one I picked out.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm just quite a big fan of Predator's Gold. Always thought he was just a chaser in the making. He has some really good sort of Grade 1 placed form. And I've always been a fan of Predator's Gold, to be honest. I think Patrick used to kind of ride him a bit, and he used to always be sort of what looked like third or fourth choice, but he would always kind of, you know, bag a placing in those graded novice hurdles. Fine big horse by Mass Marvel. And yeah, I just think chasing is quite clearly his bag. And yeah, I'd imagine I thought he might be shorter, to be honest. He's 9-4 there. You know, he looks like the kind of horse that could be a warm order come Sunday.
Jacob's Ladder is the mount of Jack Kennedy, who prefers him over the Enabler. 2:20 at Punchestown Sunday, yielding to soften places on the hurdle course for the Grade 2 Moscow Flyer Novice Hurdle. Frankie John, Free Spirit, Road Exile and Sober are the quartet. I didn't like any of these, to be honest. Frankie John might find this a bit hot back over 2 miles, one over further at Leopardstown at Christmas. Free Spirit has never run in this country for Willie Mullins, has come from France in the Galopin des Champs Colours. Road Exile could be more of a staying type, won at Navan last time, and Sober has been winning on the flash, won at Ascot in the summer after winning in France, a Grade 2, talented horse, obviously, but he hasn't been run since the summer. Won a hurdle in Killarney before that, but looked a stare to me. I'd leave this one alone. Would you?
Yeah, well, like, he's a Royal Ascot winner, Sober, but it's just like, again, this feels like, you know, you're 7-2 Free Spirit and Sober 6-4 on our sort of price at the moment. But like, if the jockey bookings were flipped,
yes,
would the market flip?
Absolutely.
You know, that was like my thinking when we look at the Nace race. It's kind of a similar thing. And you just think maybe, you know, maybe because of that, maybe Road Exile is a more, you know, a more solid chance. But like, Sober gets 2.5 miles in the flat, won over 2.5 miles during the summer. You know, that would suggest he doesn't have the pace to win over 2 miles. So, yeah, an intriguing race. Definitely not a race I'll be having a bet.
No. A Kempton on Saturday goes ahead, which is great. 2:40 is the post time for the Silvianico Conti chase. Great horse in his day. That's a Grade 2. 4 runners, 2.5 miles. Master Chewy, Boom Bon, Khalif de Burley and Edward Stone.
Yeah, I mean, I heard Harry Cobden talking on a podcast about this, and he said Khalif de Burley is his best ride of the weekend.
Okay.
So that's really notable. Look, Khalif de Burley is a bit on a recovery mission, having been beaten in the Haldon Gold Cup last time out at Exeter. They're the kind of, you know, it's one of those races that, you know, it's like Exeter's feature race, but really it's, you know, a stepping stone. You think it's the kind of race he should have won if he's to go and, you know, feature
but he stay.
Bigger. Yeah, that's a question, isn't it? Like, he's a Grade 1 winner over two miles. And then, look, if he's going to stay 2.5 miles, he Kempton's the place you'll do it, you know. But like, I mean, you would imagine they thought they had a champion chaser potentially on their hands, and he'd have to win this well to go and put him in that champion chase conversation, wouldn't he?
Look, I'd have, if you're going to have one with Adam, I'd have Edward Stone over the other two. 12 years old.
Yeah, the other
now.
Two have absolutely no chance. The only thing with Edward Stone is he's
12.
He's time for secondary school for him, you know? So it's just
brilliant.
That's the negative.
Ran well in the Peterborough chase last time, Edward Stone, but Khalif De Burley, as you say, should be winning this, but it's not a penalty kick. We have Sam Norris on the line from William Hill. How are you, Sam?
A very good chap. Yeah, yourselves?
You're not too bad. We were picking for the crack at the start of the year, Sam. We were picking Cheltenham Anti-Post horses, and we both went for Irish Panther in the Arkle, but we had different views on other ones. We both went, Tom went for Haiti Couleur of the Gold Cup. I went for Gallopon Deschamps. Do you have a view on anything like this?
Yeah, I could see Haiti Couleur running a big race in the Gold Cup. I think over the last few weeks, though, I've come more and more around to the view that Factor File in the Ryanair might just be the best thing of the entire week. Disappointing in a King George, obviously, but I think we've seen enough of him now over 3 miles to know that he isn't a stayer. The intermediate trip suits him. I don't know what's going to turn up in the race. I mean, I saw Romeo Coolio got an entry into the race, which might be interesting. Him as a novice, I think it's his best trip. And obviously there's no 2.5 option for the novices at Cheltenham now. But I think the race will cut up badly. And I think the current 6-4, 15-8, whatever he is, Factor File, I think he might just do an Alaho and come back and win the race for a second year in succession in grand style. I know he's got to come out of the King George, obviously, and we'd like a positive bulletin to know that all is okay with him. But look, he's not a huge price or anything, but I think he's going to go off a lot shorter on the day. And I think he might just be, close to the... We try not to use the word banker too much for obvious reasons, but he might be close to the good thing of the week, I think, Factor File in the Ryanair now.
We're looking at maybe Warwick going ahead. Hopefully it will now. We don't know as we record this, Sam, if it does, but the William Hill Classic Handicap Chase at Warwick on soft ground is scheduled for 2:55 on Saturday with 9 runners over 3.5 miles. This is an interesting race because you got Lam Press in there. It was a top novice, grade 2 winner at Cheltenham last season. I returned with a fine second there last month, but he's carrying top weight. He must prove his stamina. Mr. Vango is a dire stayer, won the Midlands National last season. Resplendent Grey won the Gold Cup at Sandown last season. Nassalam, a former Welsh National winner. Myertown, an interesting horse that was mentioned in connection with the Gold Cup this week, has only got 10 stone 8 in this. Destroy the Evidence, Joya Mashan and Val Dancer, another former Welsh National winner, complete the lineup. I mean, you're in that part of the world. Is there hopes that we'll go ahead? And if so, what's attracting the money?
Yeah, it sounded more positive yesterday. I think they've had 28 millimetres overnight of a combination of rain, snow, sleet. There are parts of the track that are still frozen. I think the takeoff sides over a couple of obstacles are frozen. There might be a world in which they can run the meeting whilst omitting a few obstacles if there are just specific bits of the track that they can't use. But yeah, they sounded more positive yesterday than what they were today. But hopefully it can go ahead. As you kind of alluded to there, it's a classy renewal of the Classic Chase, really. Myertown tops our betting at the moment. Lucinda Russell's got a rich history with this race. She won it with One for Arthur. Corak Rambler's running this race as well. Obviously, both of those horses went on to win the Grand National Aintree. We'd love to see a national candidate come out of this. Obviously, we've got the sponsorship of the race this year. We're offering that £500,000 bonus if any horse can do the double in this race, the Beecher, and in the Grand National Trial at Haydock as well. So Myertown would fit the bill in that regard. As you said, he could go Gold Cup. We'd love him to go national, obviously, from the bonus point of view. He's a similar horse in many ways to Corak Rambler. They both won the Ultima. You could see him going really well. We have laid the soft ground horses, unsurprisingly, as you touched on there. Mr. Vango, it can't get soft enough for him. He ran really well in the William Hill Beecher last time around. Valdancer wasn't too far behind him. He's the other one who's been backed. So Mr. Vango, 4 from 5 to 1. Valdancer, 10 from 12 to 1. They want the soft ground horses. And obviously, Lompressé's presence in the race is kind of keeping everything else at a reasonable weight, rated 162, got a look 12 stone round. Venetia Williams horses haven't really come into their own as of yet. I'd be keen to take on Lompressé in the match bet betting, perhaps, if you're looking to do a bet builder on the race. But yeah, we've laid the soft ground horses and fingers crossed it goes ahead.
I like Val Dancer in this, down the bottom at 10 to 1, third in the Beecher Chase last time, Welsh National winner last season. Like, his carrying bottom weight of 10 stone 2. In a what can be quite a challenging race from a staying perspective. Like, for example, Mr. Vango has got 11 stone 7. I think Val Dancer could be in each way about a 10 to 1 for me. What about you, Tom?
Well, I think the fact that Myertown is pretty much the same price here as he would have been for a Hennessy is just an outstanding bet. Yes, he came down the Hennessy. I wouldn't have any concerns about that. Lucinda Russell and Michael Scudamore, they schooled him very, very well. This horse won, what did he get, a stone for £15 to win the Ultima last year. You know, if he is to go and do something special in the Grand National, probably needs to get another stone as well just to make 100% sure. Well, not quite 142, but you know, you want to get £10. He's going to be, I think he's an outstanding chance. I think he's a class act in the race. I think there's, you know, Mr. Van Gogh is going the right way. It's just not a horse I've ever seemed to be on the right side of, which is ridiculous in a horse considering how many times he won. But like, yeah, he's just not one that I ever seem to get right. Yeah, I can see you're thinking of Val Dancer as well. But it sounds things I wouldn't say this race to go ahead. But I just think I'm with Myertown. I'm a big fan of Myertown. And you know what? Even if he doesn't turn up in this, and I say one of the reasons he is turning up in this might be that that £500,000 bonus that William Hill have very generously put up. But I think he's a proper horse. And as Sam said there, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up right up near the top of the market for a Grand National on the back of it as well. But just looking back, as we're even talking about what he might put up for Cheltenham, I was thinking of popping him up for the Ultima again, to be honest, even if he's on a sort of 1-4-2. But
yeah,
he'll have a right chance wherever he goes next, even if this doesn't go ahead.
We do know that Kempton goes ahead. Khalif de Burley 6-5 on with yourselves, William Hill for the Silvianico Conti Chase. I mean, it's kind of a hard race to get involved in as a punter, isn't it, Sam?
Yeah, it's one of the more difficult betting heats that we've got to discuss, probably. We've kind of got to put him in his favour. I mean, he's the only one that's going to improve at this stage of his career. The other three, you know, kind of in the veteran stages or getting there, we know everything we were ever going to know about that trio, really. He was disappointing on his seasonal return at Exeter, Khalif de Burley. So you've got to factor that in, but he's a grade one winner as a novice. Even though he was beaten on his first run in Open Company, this looks a presentable opportunity for him. He's one horse we'd probably love to get beat tomorrow. He's going to be the cornerstone of all the multiples, it looks like. All the early ACCA business that we've had so far has got Khalif de Burley in it. A hard race to bet in elsewhere. I was marginally surprised Master Chewy was the outsider of the four. It was his first run after wind surgery in the King George race. He was never going to be good enough last time around. Everybody kind of loves the second run back after the wind operation. That would be today. Down in grade, obviously, he beat Edward Stone at Newbury this time last year. He might kind of fatten up the forecast if you want to go down that route. And again, bet builders, match bets, etc. But you're scrambling around trying to find an angle in this race. Khalif de Burley is a rightful favourite. But if we could pick one horse to get beat this weekend, he would probably be the one.
What about other races, Sam? Is there anything attracting money, anything attracting your eye that you think is a good betting heat?
Wade Out's been quite well backed in the William Hill Hampton Novices Chase at Warwick, the kind of secondary feature to the Classic. But he is a horse that we're quite happy to lay. We didn't think he'd be a brilliant field last time around at Cheltenham. And the likes of Moon Rocket and Doyen Quest, I think, are going to give him a bit more to think about this time around. So, yeah, Wade Out's been popular in that race, but he's a horse that we're happy to lay for now. As you guys touched on, very competitive handicap chase at Fairy House. Blood Destiny's a horse who, well, we could put a statue up of him here. He's had that many short price defeats through the course of his career. But he is popular down in grade. He's a horse we're always happy to take on, so looking to get him in the book. Touch Me Not, obviously, has been pretty well backed for that race as well. And should just touch on the Lanzarote at Kempton also, yes, where that's a big field, 17 runners, but the front two in the betting have been backed kind of with the exception of everything else in the lineup. Lanesborough, who's 9-2, and Apie de Nom, who's also 9-2. Lanesborough has probably achieved a bit more to this point in his career, but both trained by yards who are having a good season. Both look progressive hurdlers, but it's interesting how well they've been bet compared to the other 15 of them in the race. You can get up to 8 places with each way extra on that contest here at William Hill, but the front two are really strong in the market, which, you know, for a competitive handicap hurdle like that is quite interesting to see that strength of support at this stage anyway. Could all change.
At Paid and Arm with the extra places, sort of 5-1 each way is absolutely...
You like it?
Filth. It's filth. Not suitable for work.
What does filth mean?
yeah, that's just, it's just, it's, it, it, I, that, I think a Piedonom is a really good chance in this. Loved, as we mentioned, Dan Skelton earlier. He's so good the way he handled his handicappers.
Skelton in a good way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
A Piedonom, Harry Skelton, Dan Skelton, 10 stone 6, Lanesborough, Ben Johns, Ben Pauling.
Like two jockeys that are not going to eat much this weekend. We got Harry Skelton doing sort of 10-6 and a Piedonom, and Derek Fox doing 10-8 on Myertown. I mean, there's a little each way double for you as well.
It came from nowhere. What a great name for a horse.
Yeah.
Is in this Jeremy Scott and Orkin Williams, obviously the Gold and Ace partnership, just looking through it here. Yeah, like a Berico Lord is in there. Wow. I mean, that's a blast in the past in the Lanzarote at Kempton.
It's amazing that, you know, traditionally you've always had a sort of Nicky Henderson kind of.
Just a rose, but of a nipple for him.
I think.
Freddie Gingell. Yeah, Paul Nichols trains that. Like, it's just, it's funny how it all changes. I mean, Skelton and Ben Pauling now coming to the fore as good trainers and horses, then that they'll be like. Aiming at the Chatham Festival, that they,
yeah, you'd imagine
with.
Like
Captain Teague is in there, like he was a Challow horse. The lads, amazing how it's all kind of changed.
Yeah, and I imagine the lads will be giving updates for the county and for the county and Carl Cup on the back of this race at whatever, you know, 3:20 tomorrow as well. No doubt about that.
What about like Leopardstown at Christmas and Limerick? I mean, did the UK, I suppose, racing industry and markets, do you keep a very close eye on what happens there, given the Irish dominance of Cheltenham now? Do you have to spend more time on it than you would have used to, Sam?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And particularly in certain divisions. For example, the novice hurdling division has been kind of a weird one to price this year. Obviously, you had my daddy Paddy, who looked the outstanding novice earlier in the season. He got beat in the William Hill Formula on Boxing Day by Idaho's son. You know, you've got the good-looking horse, Nicky Henderson. But it's hard to price that race because we just feel as though Willie Mullins has got 4, 5, maybe 6 horses that are in the dark that we maybe don't even know the name of. They've maybe come from France and we haven't seen them as of yet. And it's kind of how you equate them into the market, just knowing that there's something to be unleashed probably at the Dublin Racing Festival, etc., that, you know, is probably going to come and make the novice hurdlers that we've seen in the UK look a bit more average. That's been the case certainly over the last few years. But if those horses don't come, then there's going to be a few punters who are on at quite nice prices. But yeah, it's definitely something we have to...
More interesting though, isn't it? You know, it doesn't look like we're going to have the same kind of Cheltenham Festival this year with those load of 4-6 and 1-2 shots. It just doesn't feel like that. You know, you're 6-1 the Gold Cup. Depends what happens at Cheltenham in 3 weeks time for the trials day. But, you know, you're still pretty open at the top of the market for all the championship races. I mean, nearly Tia Hupo and Wadoo are probably the only really short price ones in the kind of open.
You don't have the Rich Richie, I suppose.
Yeah, like
that you would have had before.
Min or whatever.
Yeah,
just,
and Vautour and
someone who's
Mikael Dagenet and
someone
all these
who's others. Yeah, he's claimed to get, you know, obviously gone through the HRI site and found these newly named and owned horses, and then rang William Hill and asked for a price about the Supreme before they even set foot in a race course. But I think it's much better. You know, the likes of. Yeah, I mean, when Shishkin won the Supreme, there was tens available on the show about him, you know, and that's.
But he was he was a hugely talking horse for a long time, and then he kind of drifted.
Yeah, it was a bizarre market.
It was a bizarre race. Let's get our charity bet this weekend. Tom Malone, we got €50 to spend. Do you want to spend 25 each way or 50 on the nose?
We will go 25 each way in the Dan and Joan Moore handicap chase at Fairy House, and we'll stick with John Ryan and Drum Gill. 25 each way for him.
Drumgill 15-2 in the 140 at Ferry House on Saturday. 7.5-1 course and distance winner last time out. Number 7, Drumgill. John Patrick Ryan trains. Michael Keneally rides. Tom Malone's charity bet this week on the Racing Pot. Sam Narson, William Hill, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers, Sam.
Thank you for everything, and we'll speak to you next week, or speak to you soon.
Cheers, John.
The Racing Pod.
On Off the Ball.
With William Hill. 18+. See gamblingcare.ie.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.